Introduce yourselves, won't you?
Hi, I'm Zira Fuzzle, and I'm playing the role of Austin in this production of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged.
I'm Mark Jacobson, and I am doing the Dom track in Complete History of Comedy Abridged.
And I'm Mark Ginsburg, and I am playing the Reed track in the show.
So we're lousy with marks.
Including my understudy, as a matter of fact, so couple.
And I have to say, Zara, you are almost pretty enough to be playing me, so congratulations.
Oh, Austin, oh, that means so much. Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 538, Falcon Theater Fools. You've heard me talk about the Falcon Theater in Los Angeles. Well, actually, it's in Burbank. Actually, it's Toluca Lake. But the point is, the Falcon Theater, in addition to being the home of one of our favorite companies, the Troubies, last year also produced their own non-RSC production of The Complete History of America Abridged, which was nominated for several L.A. Stage Alliance Ovation Awards, including Best Production and Best Direction, and it actually won Best Ensemble in a Play. Well, now this year, the Falcon is producing its own non-RSC production of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged, also directed by our old friend Jerry Kernian. The show just opened last night, so I thought that today, April Fool's Day 2017, was the perfect time to introduce you to the Falcon's cast of fools, Zara Fuzzle, Mark Ginsburg, and Mark Jacobson. I started by asking them how they got their roles.
We all came into audition. I'm actually the lone wolf. Both Mark and Zara have worked at the Falcon before. Okay. So they knew them. Zara was actually an understudy.
Yeah, I was an understudy for The Complete History of America Abridged last season.
Oh, cool.
For the Austin and the Reed tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So they finally pinned her down and got the show. And then Mark had worked here before. And Jerry, our director, had played my dad in a kitchen sink drama. So he knew me in a very different context. And then I came in and told some jokes and did the Lincoln monologue, and the rest was history.
Oh, wow. How is your Lincoln stand-up?
I'm just saying, I do a pretty good Def Jam comedy.
It's great. He's pretty funny.
It's true, sir.
I can tell. And Mark, you had worked at the Falcon, but had you worked with Jerry before?
I hadn't. I worked at the Falcon at this exact same time last year doing a brand new show called The Real Housewives of Toluca Lake, which is a love letter parody of all the Real Housewives shenanigans. Brand new show, a lot of fun. And Jerry came to see it because we were right after Complete History of America. So he was kind of overlapping. And I played 18 characters in that show. I was the only male in it, and I was quick changing and accenting and whatnot like crazy. And I met him afterwards, and we had a great talk. And then as this was rolling around, he got in touch with me and said, I'd love for you to come in for this next show I'm doing. I think at least by watching what you did last year in Real Housewives, I think it could be right up your alley. So I came in, same thing, did a couple monologues, couple scenes, told a wildly inappropriate joke, and the rest is history.
And naturally, he barely has any costume changes in the show.
True story.
So
True story.
He got all that energy out in the last one here, and he gets to sit pretty during this.
That's good. I mean, it's always encouraging when a theater hires actors again. You know, that seems to speak, even if it doesn't speak at all to your talents, it says that they like working with you, which counts for so much.
Sure does.
And yet you decided you wanted to work with Jerry again, Mark.
I know. It was, I have questionable judgment, Austin, and a glutton for punishment.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Did you know about the Reduced Shakespeare Company when you auditioned for this? Did you have an affinity for comedy necessarily, or is this like an acting job, or is this the fulfillment of your life's ambition to be doing the history of comedy? What's some of the background here?
For me, I remember seeing RSC shows when I was a kid. I think you guys had come through touring at one point in Indiana. Correct me if I'm wrong. And so I remember hearing about the complete history of William Shakespeare, or the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged, and knew that these shows were really fast-paced, really fun. So when I auditioned for America last season, I love doing comedy, and so I thought it would be a really fun way to work out my comedy chops. And
And I know, I also was aware of complete works of Shakespeare Abridged very early on, and then you did come through touring, and maybe Jerry as well, to Phoenix with Completely Hollywood.
Oh,
I was a little ham on stage. I was the audience volunteer.
And
Jerry and I deduced that I'm pretty sure it was him on the tour. And now knowing how the audience involvement works in these shows, I apologize after the fact for being a little too probably overzealous. But
you were one of our...
It all comes full circle.
So
I've worked with Michael Faulkner as well here in L.A. And my good friend Kurt Quinn is a new member of the company. So I'm just stalking a number of you and have been for many years.
Well, it's so exciting to see that the Falcon has finally started doing our scripts 6 years after I've left L.A. So thank you. So, Mark, what about you?
I'm echoing, but I had heard and seen Shakespeare many, many times in many, many different incarnations just because it lends itself to that. And most of the time I saw it, it was, you know, with bigger companies who said, oh, we can have such and such people do this scene and such people do this scene. I didn't realize at the time that it was originally meant for three people running around like maniacs doing it. Yeah, I saw America last year, and I went, "Oh man, now I get it! Wow, this is it's so much fun!" And I do have a huge affinity for the old time comedy stuff. So when I was talking to Jerry, and he said he wanted to bring so much of you know, the laughing thing, and he's bringing up so many references to Abbott and Costello and the Honeymooners and Art Carney and all these comic legends, I said This is where I like to be, because, you know, modern comedy is fine. I enjoy it, but there's something really to be said for the masters that I enjoy and love so much and was presented, you know, by my folks growing up. So it really was a lot of fun.
Cool. It sounds like you have excellent parents, and I applaud them.
I agree. Yeah.
We stand on the shoulders of comic giants. So when you read the script and you started rehearsing, did you know all the references, or did you have to go, wait, who are we talking about here?
I knew most of them. I would say a good 90% of them. There were a couple that I had to look up.
We did a lot of research. I think I had a phone call with Jerry in like November, early December, before we started rehearsals at the end of February, to like, you know, a chat with him about what to watch, what to read. And so the research for this show was so much fun. I can't tell you how many days I like fell down the rabbit hole of like just watching George Carlin and watching Bill Hicks and, you know, just learning a lot about comedy that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Before.
Well, and are you singing the song?
I am singing the song.
Because that's so, well, it's so personal to me and written from my very white something perspective.
You're such a Anglophile, which is so neat. Like, I hadn't really explored much of British humor
Love
before.
It. Yeah, that's...
So it's really cool to...
Well, and did you have to, I mean, does that, I guess, does that song speak to you, or do you feel like you're acting in that moment? Do you know what I mean?
You know, bits and pieces. Some of the references really, really resonate with me, like Danny Kaye and South Simpsons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the more, you know, kind of 90s, early 2000s things, the SNL folks, those things all really personally resonate with me. For some of those other references that I don't really have a personal connection with, I either had to, like, watch them to develop an opinion on them, or... as Jerry is fond of, you know, using substitution. So thinking about things that really impacted my childhood in the way that I think some of those things in that song impacted you growing up.
And it's such a beautiful moment in our costume designer after one of our runs last week came up and was like, it's my favorite part of the show. It's just, it's simple and it's beautiful. And I'm a big fan of like Stephen Lynch and Tim Minchin and having a little bit of a shout out to those, you know, song comedians it's a kind of brilliant way. Cause it really is an honest, there's, you know, it's a spotlight on Zara with her ukulele and then we pop in for a quick verse.
Yeah, we jump in for a verse.
Yeah. I really hope I get to hear this because I love that idea.
Well, and fun thing. First of all, Zara taught herself to play ukulele for this.
It's
so
true.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
As did I. Well done.
Oh, excellent. True to method then.
Love it.
So hopefully if it worked for Ryan Gosling in La La Land, for this.
And on top of that, we jumped in and Jerry... just, of course, being Jerry, making it very simple. He said, how about one of you does some harmony? Mm-hmm. We all just kind of went, oh, okay. And Zara went, give me a second, and just whipped out some really beautiful harmony that she sings through that verse. It's really pretty lovely.
It's a really pretty song. Yeah. Thank you for writing it.
Oh, gosh, you're welcome. It's really pretty when a bunch of clowns sit down and do something kind of pretty and sincere and lovely.
Yeah.
Right. It takes people by surprise.
You're listening to Tim Minchin, randomly standing here with Austin and et al. And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? We're taking a couple of weeks off in both the U.S. and the U.K., but we'll return on April 18th in the U.K., performing in Richmond, then moving on to Musselburgh, Alnwick, Goole, Leeds, Torquay, Hartford, Bedford, Oxford, Stroud, Thornbury, Milton Keynes, Stoke-on-Trent, Porthcawl, Worcester, York, Eastbourne, Woking, Derby, Folkestone, and Bromley. And then in this country, on April 21st and 22nd, we will perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, in Reston, Virginia, then move on to Waukegan, Illinois, Flint, Michigan, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and at the Virginia Arts Festival in Norfolk, Virginia. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with the Falcon Theater's Fools, Zara Fossil, Mark Ginsburg, and Mark Jacobson, talking about their production of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged, which opened last night.
Does this feel like an acting gig? Does it feel like... Do you know what I mean? Is this like doing a real play, in air quotes?
Jerry's really good about continuing the emotional mining. Like, and there is that sort of separation, like the suspension of your disbelief in the moment when you have to convey what is, you know, the history lesson of the show.
The lecture.
But also the undercurrent of... me not believing we can finish the show or should finish the show without having the final chapter and us sort of creating our conflict. And Jerry's pretty good about, he's like, great. So now that you're sweaty and have mastered your costume changes, don't forget you're also people with intentions.
Right.
Yeah.
Another big thing Jerry keeps pushing is like the status of us and, you know, who do we see as lower status than us? Who do we see as higher? When are we superior? And then when are we completely kind of kicked on our butt?
Obviously, there's a ton of shtick and bits and stuff going on in characters and whatnot. But he's also been really great that even though the lines are there and we're speaking from essentially Reed's perspective or Austin's perspective or whoever, that we're us. Right. That this is the time to stop doing so much. Obviously, keep the undercurrent of your intentions and the things that you're trying to convey, but to drop the characters, to drop the shtick, to maybe not be as big as we were a minute ago, and just stand there and be us for a minute, which is just such a great gift to be able to say, oh, I don't have to work as hard. I can just bring the audience in by being me. That's nice.
It is, particularly in that venue, which is intimate.
Very true.
Yeah, we're very, very close to the audience at all times. And he was telling us about how the sort of difficulties of the audition process, because part of it was just come in and tell a joke as yourself. And he was telling us a lot of what, you know, led to our success was that we were able to be, you know, maybe a slightly heightened but generally natural version of ourselves. And some people just can't do that. It's a weird challenge to not be acting all the time and to just tell a story as yourself as a person. But there's so much that's essential to the show. So.
That's not that's not a skill that's in a lot of actors' wheelhouse.
Sure.
And you guys being yourselves keeps you from imitating how we did it or how Jerry's directing you to do it and make it, you find your own honest way to do it. And it also keeping the arc of the three of you working and fighting together keeps it being from just a sketch show about with this bit.
Right.
Gives it a through line.
Jerry's also given us ladders to climb.
Yeah, that's
also from an emotional perspective, that's difficult.
Emotional ladders.
Oh, I see.
And literal.
And
literal.
Very physical.
Oh, he's one of those directors.
Oh, yes. Yes, we put portholes on each side of the stage above the doors, so we literally have to move a ladder to its spot, climb up the ladder, do our thing, climb down the ladder, put the ladder back where it was, and then do a costume change.
So it really is doing the laugh-in porthole thing.
Yes.
Yep.
Very good. Oh, this sounds like it's going to be really, really fun.
Well, to answer your question about what I find challenging about the show, as a woman and as a woman of color, often in my career, I haven't been afforded the opportunities to do impressions, especially a show that there's so many male impressions. It's stretched me completely and forced me to find new ways of thinking of myself and my instrument in a way that I really haven't been stretched before. So that's been enormously rewarding, but also challenging. And I would also say that letting myself relax and believe in myself and let it come out the way it's going to come out of a female body and to be okay with that and to find the humor in that and to present the humor in that has been an interesting challenge that I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes through the run, how people react.
Are you saying I don't have a female body? Look at these moves. no, I think that's really cool. And do you think the material is changed or charged just by your presence?
Well, for instance, some bits are very much changed. So, like the old British woman, the Monty Python, who cares? I'm dressed like a lady. I am a woman. I'm very obviously a woman.
Right.
So it's fun the ways we've tried to tweak that bit to make it make sense that it's me in old person drag as opposed to a man in female drag.
Yeah, interesting.
But we've also, Zara is Muslim and I'm Jewish, and we've inverted the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So
I'm the Israeli and he's the Palestinian.
Very good.
That's fun. And there are just little things along with that, like the, whoopee cushion bit, getting up and doing the whoopee cushion, just because it's such a friendly yet kind of brotherly, sisterly moment that there are so many times in the show that I forget that it was written for two men or three men, as it were, because it just feels things like that just feel so interesting. You know, when you're doing the I'm not touching you thing with your sister.
Yes.
It's that moment that feels just so right and so original that way. And then I step back and I go, oh, this wasn't originally written this way. How I love that we had found that little underlying thing that we could pull out. It's really kind of neat.
And my understudy's name is Angela, and we've kept basically all of the combat the same, but naturally the way she responds to a ball kick, which happens to me quite frequently in the show, is a little bit less. It's a different perspective.
Well, yeah, it's hard. You know, it's funny kicking a guy. Is it funny kicking a girl? I'm not sure that it is.
We'll find out.
No, Mark, we can't. No, we don't. You can't miss a show. We don't want to find that out.
Having said that, when we did it in rehearsal, we thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, it was pretty
so
funny.
Who knows, though?
Her non-reaction was funny because you kick a woman in the crotch and we're like, what? We're used to, like, pushing things out.
I love to hear that the material feels universal to sustain a variety of different interpretations. That's great. Has Jerry said, okay, we're going to steal this, we're going to steal this, we're going to make this our own? Has there been a mix of all of this?
I feel like he's had the benefit of, the fact that we don't have to pack the show up.
Yeah.
It's a pretty elaborate set. It's a beautiful, beautiful scenic design by a guy named Stephen Gifford. And we do have those portals. We have levels. We have smoke machine. I mean, it's a very well-supported production, and I know the way you guys tour and have to, you know, pick the show up and move it, it's pretty black box simple, you know, basic needs, and I think Jerry has taken full advantage of all the things he can throw at, on, or about us.
So Rambozo gets a little smoke on his entrance? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, Rambozo gets a little bit of smoke, which is great. Not exactly where he expected it to be, though, which is obviously where the comedy comes in.
So also.
It's great, though. Yeah, they've really been able, Jerry has been able to definitely pick and choose, because I'm sure there are things, obviously, in tone and in pacing and what have you, that he's learned and, you know, what has worked and what has not from years of experience.
Yeah.
But he definitely, he's added some really fun stuff to the stage, combat. It's pretty elaborate. We've also done a couple replacement things. We've added a couple things into the song and into what, so it's not a completely carbon copy version of what has been done in the past, which is great.
Oh, but, I hope not. Yeah, I hope not. Oh God.
But the best part is at the same time, he's able to say to us, you know, I know that we've been flexible with this, that, and this. However, this part, I need to be this because this is how it works.
Yep.
I guarantee you this is how it works. And if we do it any other way, it won't play the same and it won't get the same reaction. So it's nice to have that bit of forewarning.
Awesome. Two questions. Have you already done your a photo shoot for the slideshow that goes awry?
Yes,
we have.
They yes, have.
We
did.
Congratulations, gentlemen.
Yes, we do.
We like those pictures emailed to you. Yeah.
Well, interestingly, that's another bit that had to change because of gender.
Right.
So as written, it's the Austin character and the Reed character in the hot tub together. Right. But as Jerry said, if we took a picture of me and Mark in the hot tub together, it would look like Mark just scorped.
Yes.
So they switched it. Yep.
And now it looks like he really scored.
Right? True story.
So.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your bold new interpretations via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner. Thanks as always to Sad Clown Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and also this week by Peter Bufano and Sirkestra. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Mary Beth Zeminski. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Tim Minchin. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tichner, 538 1614th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
It sounds like this production is going to be great, and just looking at you, I think I know this because it's honestly, genuinely, two Jews and an Arab walk into a theater.
Yep. You couldn't be more on the money.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.